Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. I am Jason Powell on ProWrestling.net today. Jake Barnett's full review of last night's WWE SmackDown Live. We also have those WWE Raw ratings from Monday. John Moore has his weekly Talking Smack recap article available, and you can check out my WWE SmackDown hit list. Coming up after the break for non-members, I will be reviewing WWE SmackDown Live. If you listened to yesterday's All Access Daily Podcast, then you heard me say very doubtful we would get a clean finish in the John Cena and Dean Ambrose match. I was wrong. We ended up getting Dean Ambrose pinning John Cena clean. I like it. I really do, because and it's not just it's a Cena hate thing. Not at all. I think from Cena's perspective, it makes his matches with Dean Ambrose, AJ Styles, and others, You're just going to pay more attention to the near falls. It doesn't seem inevitable that John Cena is going to win or the heel is going to cheat to win. We've seen AJ Styles pin him clean. We've seen Dean Ambrose now pin him clean. And I think that's big. I think WWE getting good use out of Cena. And this is a win that Dean Ambrose really needed. I mean, he was the weak man going into the triple threat match. Some of it because he just dropped the championship. But also, he's just been kind of there. You know, they seem to be toning down on the wackiness. They don't have, it's been a couple weeks now since we've seen anything close to Dean Ambrose wearing the big cowboy hat that he was wearing and clowning around backstage with the hairstylist and things like that. It seems like Ambrose is getting his edge back, and now that he has a big win over John Cena, it seems like he has some momentum. By the way, on the Talking Smack show, he started talking about how he and John Cena, in reality, don't get along all that well. If they cross paths, Cena goes out of his way to not even make eye contact with him, that sort of a thing. Could be shooting straight. Probably not. But either way, I like it. You know, I think it adds a little bit of perceived tension to their program. And so I think that was a nice touch. And again, you can check out John Moore's full recap for that. SmackDown opened with some hype for the main event, and also the Intercontinental Championship. Daniel Bryan ended up delivering an in-ring promo. Basically he was just there to kind of set up the contract signing for the Women's Championship match that's going to be taking place at No Mercy. He introduced the champion Becky Lynch first, then challenger Alexa Bliss, who had won the five-way to earn the title shot. By the way, I am using Jake Barnett's live review from Tuesday night as my outline. So if you want to do the same, check it out at ProWrestling.net, of course. Alexa Bliss was really good here. I disagree with Jake on this one. He thought she was a little shaky. I was really impressed. I thought she was shaky on Talking Smack last week, where she just kind of didn't seem confident in knowing that what she was saying was the answer she was supposed to give, that sort of a thing. I mean, it's Talking Smack, it's a different format, but here where she was asked to cut a promo, she really tore into Becky, and I thought she did a good job. And Becky, always a good promo. She fired back. She does such a good job of kind of conveying that she's just an average girl who worked really hard to get to the position that she's in, and now that she's a WWE champion, women's champion, or SmackDown women's champion, I guess it would be, she is going to fight to keep that championship. And so I really liked the exchange between the two. I also liked that Alexa Bliss ended up shoving she took a cheap shot at Becky and then flipped the table onto her. I would have ended it there, because Alexa Bliss, let's face it, they can't stop telling us how small she is. I think when she was drafted to SmackDown, I think the first words we heard about her were from Renee Young, who called her like a little nugget or something like that. I'm like, ooh, that's got to stop. But, I mean, no one's calling her that, but they do talk about her being undersized. And plus you have Becky Lynch, who just won the championship. So whoever her first opponent is, more often than not, you know, the first challenger is going to go in as a heavy underdog. So I just would have left it at that and let Bliss walk out standing tall, having delivered a good promo. And instead, they did have Becky get up and hit her from behind, and then Bliss ran away. So I didn't like it. Overall, the segment was really good. It's just one of those things where I don't know that you needed to see the babyface get some level of comeuppance. And I think, not that she got it completely, but still, let the heel, who you're trying to establish as a strong challenger, walk away standing tall. We went to The Miz and Daniel Bryan backstage. Basically, Miz is he's not happy that he had to defend the Intercontinental Championship. He thought he had a new contract, and instead he feels like Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, who was not on the show, by the way, Shane wasn't there. He feels like they're just trying to take the championship away from him, or trying to get it off him, basically. And now Jake said he got a new contract in exchange. He had to defend the Intercontinental Championship. So I guess I'm not quite sure if they're saying that he is. I missed that last night watching the show. I don't know if that means he has re-signed, or because at last check, I remember there was some tweet exchange that Daniel Bryan was saying Miz's contract demands are ridiculous, that sort of a thing. And so I'm not quite sure where that stands. Yeah, I mean, it's all storyline fodder, but I'm not sure if they'll continue that or if Jay caught it right. And he actually does have a new deal now. In the arena, the Usos made their entrance. We get some footage of them beating American Alpha and taking out Chad Gable. And it was time for their match. This was a number one contenders match to determine which team would end up getting the title shot. I assume at No Mercy. I don't know if it's been officially announced yet. But the Usos ended up really doing a good job of being heels again. American Alpha, I think they need to do a little bit more as far as character development is concerned. Some of it is, you know, they debuted, they got a big, they were, you know, introduced in a big way as far as before you even saw them, just by being drafted as high as they were and people raving about them. But they really haven't been consistent with kind of driving home the personalities of these guys. We get some kind of almost quirky backstage stuff with the Ready, Willing, and Gable routine. It's if you know it from NXT, then you're fine with it. But I always try to think of the audience that just doesn't watch NXT and wonder what they're thinking of these guys. And I'm sure they're impressed by their in-ring exploits, but I don't feel like they've been given enough yet to really latch on to them as characters. The Usos, on the other hand, doing a really good job as heels, just shining as heels. I really like that. This is a long overdue move. I think they can still give them more character development, but they're shining as heels. I'm sure it's fun for the first time in several years now to actually be able to play heels in WWE. And the Usos did target that knee of Gable and chopped him from hit him with the chop block, and then ended up hitting a double super kick on Jason Jordan and pinning Kim. So the Usos win, as they should in this situation. You know, they have the injury excuse now for Chad Gable. The Usos are the team that that need to be established as heels. I mean, keep in mind they lost to American Alpha in their last match in a matter of seconds. Then they failed to beat Heath Slater and Rhino for the tag titles, which was kind of surprising considering they had just turned. And so now I think the goal is to make them look really strong. I would assume put the tag team championship on them sooner rather than later. I wouldn't. Coming out of the SmackDown pay-per-view, I was like, I wonder if they're just going to put the titles on them on Tuesday. You know, you kind of had the happy ending to the Slater Rhino saga, and I wouldn't have surprised me. They haven't done that yet. But I guess I'm just going to assume that they'd end up getting those championships at No Mercy. They did have the Usos backstage talking some smack at Slater and Rhino. And Rhino was eating cheese and crackers again. So that has made its return. And as I've said, I think that I'm all for new marketing ideas. I think that Rhino and Heath Slater should have their own line of cheese and crackers, kind of like New Day. Have their Bootio cereal. After a commercial break, we got Jack Swagger joining the broadcast team for the match that saw Baron Corbin defeat Apollo Crews, and it was Crews winning with End of Days. I don't know why they continue to have Apollo Crews lose. I'm not. I mean, think back to the first edition of SmackDown coming out of the draft, and it was Apollo Crews winning that spot in, was it a five-way or a six-pack challenge, whatever it was to determine who would end up at, maybe it was a four-way, but I don't know, some big multi-person match, but he won the Battle Royal to qualify for that. Now, he didn't go on to win the title match, but it was still like, all right, the night before we saw the rise of Finn Balor, they were doing good things with Sasha Banks, and so it's like, I wonder if Apollo Crews is going to be the SmackDown version of this. They haven't done anything with him since then. He just, I mean, he might win a match here and there, but it's not a meaningful match. And anytime he's positioned in a meaningful match, he loses. He lost to The Miz, which is, you know, Intercontinental Championship. They kind of gave him an out in that match by having him go over the top rope. I think he was, I don't know, catapulted somehow, or he dove at Miz, who moved. But one way or another, his head hit the top of the ring post, which is a good out. Problem is, they didn't play it up that way. They didn't make it seem like, oh man, this guy was on a roll, and had it not been for this unfortunate ring post maneuver, or, you know, the move into the ring post, he may have won that match. There was none of that. It just was kind of forgotten, and Corbin beats him here. I like Baron Corbin. I'm all for Baron Corbin being built up as a strong heel on SmackDown. Lord knows they need them. I mean, they just need star power. And I mean, they're doing a good job with what they have, but you need to elevate some people and make them meaningful. And they're doing that with Corbin. I just don't like that it's coming at the expense of Apollo Crews. If Corbin beats Jack Swagger, and I hope we're not heading into another Corbin and Dolph Ziggler-like feud where Corbin and Jack Swagger just trade wins. I don't think it's going to be beneficial. I kind of worry they're trying to get Jack Swagger over now that they've moved him to SmackDown, and we may get that. And, I mean, there's a chance it could work, but I just haven't been blown away by Jack Swagger the last couple of weeks since he ended up showing up on SmackDown. We'll see where that goes. But I really want to see them do something with Apollo Crews. There's a number of guys in the locker room who could have had their asses handed to them by Baron Corbin, and it would have been more effective than this. I mean, Baron Corbin squashing someone. I know you can swell it. It means more when he beats Apollo Crews. It's been established that Baron Corbin can beat Apollo Crews. I just don't need to see the match anymore. It's not doing Apollo Crews any good. And frankly, it's not doing Baron Corbin all that much good. We ended up with some hype for, we saw Dean Ambrose getting ready for the main event. He was not wearing a giant cowboy hat. Then they had Miz and Ziggler hype for later in the show, and they went to a commercial break. We got Curt Hawkins doing some backstage comedy type stuff again. It's time to face the facts. So he has yet to debut in the ring. They were hyping him for last week that he arrives at SmackDown, and I guess the arrival means he's going to do his Curt Hawkins facts in person, in the building, rather than just doing whatever it was they were doing before. I don't know when they're going to pull the trigger on this. Can't say I'm all that entertained by it. They haven't made me just despise him yet. I mean, as far as like, and I'm not talking about good heat. I'm talking about get the hell off my television. I mean, it's just, you know, as I've said, it's take Chuck Norris out of Chuck Norris jokes and insert Curt Hawkins, and that's what the character has been so far. But I can see, like, he's going to have some ability to get under the skin of fans. I just don't know how serious they are about him. If they want to do, I don't think he's going to be a main event player on SmackDown, but is he going to be a mid-card guy? Is that something they have planned for him, or is he going to be Jinder Mahal? You know, is he going to be a guy that they kind of introduce with a little bit of fanfare, only to have him lose? Now, he's been getting more attention than Jinder certainly did on the Raw side. And so maybe they are going to try to do a little something with him. I mean, they've made good use of Rhino when he showed up. I can't say I was excited. And I enjoy Rhino right now, perhaps more than I have at any point in his career. He was Rhino, the wrestling Rhino. He's a man beast. Like, what the hell is this? No character development, but now he eats Cheese Whiz and crackers. And, He works well with Heath Slater, and it's a lot of fun. So maybe they'll get some good use out of Curt Hawkins. We'll see. We did get Nikki Bella and Naomi backstage, and they're just giddy about teaming together again and or something along those lines. And Nikki did call, she called Naomi Trin, as Jake caught. As Jake mentioned, it was a Total Divas flub because, her real name, Trinity, which she was called on Total Divas. And Nikki said she wasn't sure what Carmella's deal was. She's been attacking her ever since she got to SmackDown, but she says she feels rebooted and would like to make Carmella feel her boots later tonight. Oh, boy. I guess I missed that line. That's cheesy. We went backstage where Dolph Ziggler was interviewed by Renee Young, and He's tired of Hollywood disgrace calling himself a champion, and he talked about how people don't think he was going to, didn't think he's going to do certain things. He wasn't supposed to be a world champion or a Kent State Hall of Famer, but now he is a Kent State Hall of Famer, and he's been a world champion, of course. And he said tonight he would prove to himself that he still belongs. And then he ended up channeling one of the characters from Major League by saying there's only one thing left to do, win the whole damn thing. I hope he knows that Tony Romo did the same thing last year, and he was all excited about, he put that on Twitter because he was coming back from an injury, and then he got hurt again. Hopefully this works out better for Dolph than it did for Tony Romo. Hey, before we get into the second part of the show, I do want to tell you that if you enjoy these long-form audio reviews, we do them for almost each and every show. I do them for Raw. Obviously, I do them for SmackDown. I do them for TNA Impact Wrestling. Hayden Gleed and Darren Gutteridge get together and do them for Ring of Honor. Zach Zimmerman does them for the NXT television show. And we have reviews from Zach, and I guess a few from me as well sprinkled in there when Zach was attending the Cruiserweight Classic. We have reviews of all of those shows as well in audio form. So you hear some of them here on the All Access side, Know that they are all available to .NET members. And I should also mention John Moore doing audio reviews of Lucha Underground, picking up for Will Pruitt, who did the first two seasons. John Moore has taken over season three of the Lucha Underground weekly audio review and audio reviews of all the major pay-per-view events. Jake Barnett and I get together after all of the WWE shows, including Sunday's WWE Clash of Champions. Jake and I will get together and discuss that show in detail afterward. Those audio reviews can go anywhere from 60 minutes to 90 minutes in length, just us breaking down the show, kind of looking ahead to what we think could be coming next, and also weekly Q&A audio show that I host for the members. I answer their pro wrestling questions to start, and then take some oddball non-wrestling questions at the end. It's always a good time. Plus, the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast should be returning this week with Will Pruitt and Jake Barnett. So, tons of audio content available. I'm probably not even covering everything that we offer as far as the audio content is concerned. If you dig audio, obviously, we have a lot of it waiting for you on the .NET member side. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you're there, you will see an area listed as the sign-up area. Once you're in there, three different pricing options. $7.50 gets you in the door for 1 month. If you'd like to commit to a longer subscription, then you can save yourself some money in the process. There's a 6-month rate that'll save you some money, and that annual rate brings the average price down to $5.50 per month. That's right, $2 off every month is what you're saving if you commit to the annual subscription rate at ProWrestling.net. You have any questions on that? Hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet, or feel free to shoot me an email. .NETJason@gmail.com. Just be sure to spell it out. DOTNETJASON@gmail.com. Now back to SmackDown. We had Dolph Ziggler facing The Miz. Miz had Maurice in his corner. It was for the Intercontinental Championship, and it was The Miz winning because of hairspray again. This time, he was the one who sprayed Maurice's hairspray into the eyes of Dolph Ziggler. So he gets the win that way. He did that, and then he hit the skull-crushing finale. So Miz winning thanks to hairspray again. I don't know where this is going. I can't say I'm excited by it because we just saw this, and nothing really came of it. It was maybe they're building to something, but the problem is they just had Maurice do this at the SmackDown pay-per-view, and then there was no follow-up to it. It just was kind of like accepted that they cheated to win, and they just kind of moved on. Now, it's happened twice in a row, so that's why I say maybe it's leading to something. Let's hope it's not a blindfold match. But, I mean, Ziggler's not even selling, like, any type of, like, eye issue other than in the moment. It's not like he's coming back the next week on SmackDown and go, oh, my eyes. There's nothing like that. So, but I will say this was a good competitive match. The fans were into it more than I expected them to be, only because we've seen this match so many times. But to the credit of Miz and Ziggler, they had some really good near falls, and fans were really buying into the idea that Dolph may win the Intercontinental Championship. We saw a shot of Randy Orton walking backstage, and then went to a commercial. Then we got his entrance, and he ended up defeating Eric Rowan. He used the RKO to do it. It was a brief match, but here's what I like about it. They set this up last week. There was an issue with the two of them with, was it Rowan attacking Orton or something along those lines? They took a moment to set this up. They came back, and it wasn't just Randy Orton fighting Eric Rowan for no reason. There's a little bit of history here, and obviously the connection between Rowan and Bray Wyatt. Now, after he finished him off, for some reason, the arena went dark and the Wyatt sounder played, and when the lights came back on, Rowan was gone, but his sheet mask was there. And then Bray cut a promo on the big screen saying that Randy can die, but Bray is a god and is immortal. Run. And as Jake wrote, yawn. I talked about it last week. I think Bray Wyatt's promos have like a one-month shelf life. When he's feuding with somebody, there's some good entertaining material there for a month. And when it goes beyond that month, he just kind of repeats himself, or he doesn't ever just completely repeat himself, but it's just, it's too similar, and it's not, you know, their fault that they didn't get to have their match at Backlash. Instead, it was, you know, Randy Orton missing that due to the concussion, but still, I mean, here we are, and it's like there's just, it doesn't feel like they have, feels like they're stretching. I mean, I didn't think that was going to be a one and done. I assume that we'd be getting another Randy and Bray feud, so I will give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt in terms of, well, they didn't get to have that match, but surely they knew they were having more, and we're just not getting anything good from Bray Wyatt coming out of that situation. And then it was time for our weekly SmackDown tag match. In this case, We only had four of the six women who were in the division. By the way, Eva Marie was eligible to return on SmackDown last night, and she did not. There was no sign of her whatsoever. So I guess they're just she was suspended for 30 days for her first wellness violation, and I thought we may see her last night. Both she and Paige both eligible to return. Paige is technically on the Raw side. I would move Paige to SmackDown. If nothing else, I think WWE could do it just for comedy relief, because that was the issue, is that she and Del Rio were separated with, among one of the issues, but with Del Rio being on the SmackDown side, Paige being on Raw, I think they would find some humor in moving her, because they can be mean people sometimes. But I actually think it would help the SmackDown side. I think Paige could contribute more on the SmackDown side than she's going to get a chance to on Raw. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, it depends on the user. If they want to kind of move Bayley out of the title picture and have heel Paige and Bayley go at it, he could do something there, but I just think she could be really in the title picture in a hurry on the SmackDown side. Of course, you can book her. You can book this thing any way you want to. She could be in the title picture on Raw if they really want her to. I just think there's more upside for her on SmackDown. But the match here wasn't really much of a match. Jake speculated that this got cut, like they were running long and had to cut something, and they made it this. And he may be right. I'm not sure how this, why this was the way it was, but Nikki ended up applying a sharpshooter on, it was Natalya and Carmella against Nikki and Naomi, and so she applied the sharpshooter to, it was Natalya applying the sharpshooter, of course, to Nikki, but then Carmella reaching in the ring and pulling Nikki out. So the match may have ended, but Natalya's own tag partner pulled Nikki to ringside so she could basically beat her up. And the referee called off the match because of this. I don't know why that was a DQ, but it was. And I guess they just, I assume it was DQ. Jake said apparent no contest, which is kind of our go-to if we don't know. But it looked like a DQ to me. But yeah, they didn't specify, because why would they? Well, there's plenty of reasons. Why not? That's my big question. Just make us feel like the matches mean something. Just it takes a second to announce your winners by DQ, but they don't go there. Backstage, AJ Styles was interviewed by Charlie Caruso, and she asked him how he felt about his two rivals competing, and he said he wasn't rivals with either of them because he just beat them. He said that he's the face that runs the place, the champ that runs the camp, and the only reason he was in a triple threat at No Mercy is because the only way he could lose his championship is if he didn't get pinned to lose it. And he just talked about how he's going to watch Ambrose and Cena tear one another apart while he just kind of sits back and soaks it all in. So John Cena made his entrance going into the commercial break. Coming out, Ambrose made his entrance. And then Dean Ambrose defeated John Cena with a roll-up pin. So clean pin, good competitive match, entertaining. They did have a commercial break in this. So it was a good lengthy match. Jake didn't get a time on it, but it was, I remember there was probably 15 minutes or roughly 15 minutes left in the show when they went to the break before the match, I think. So, and it wasn't like a 20-minute gem or anything like that, but they gave him a decent amount of time for a television match. And yeah, again, very surprised to see the clean pinfall, but I think it makes sense. The issue here is that the reason it was so hard to see coming is that there have been plenty of times where beating John Cena seemed to make the most sense. I could point to many, many examples of this, and they just don't pull the trigger on it. You know, I mean, think about how many different people would have benefited. Where would Bray Wyatt or Rusev be right now had they got an upset pin over John Cena at WrestleMania? And, it just doesn't happen. Vince is very protective, and I get it for good reason. I just think for some reason, or I think at sometimes he is too overprotective of John Cena and actually works against John Cena. And now it's everything I said about Rusev back in the day, and just others said, boy, you know, if you just would have had this guy beat John Cena, it makes the feud mean more. It makes John Cena look a little vulnerable, which is a good thing. He doesn't always have to look like Superman. It's just kind of a repeat when he does. It's like, okay, he's going to hit the five moves of doom. You don't really, I mean, kids, I'm sure, are kind of hanging on whether John Cena can make his comeback. I know when I was a kid, I did that with Hulk Hogan back in the day. But as you get a little bit older, you kind of start to see the formula, and you know who it's like, who's realistically going to beat the top guy. The beatdown leading into the comeback doesn't mean as much. Now with John Cena being pinned by Dean Ambrose, doesn't mean we need to worry about John Cena being beaten by James "By God" Ellsworth or anything like that. But it suddenly does make you pay more attention when John Cena is there's a good convincing near fall, where before just be like, it's John Cena, he's gonna kick out. Where now you do, I think naturally you do pay more attention, thinking this could be the finish, more so than you would have before. So and again, Ambrose needed this. I think it's it really works well for both guys, and so I applaud them. I didn't see it coming, but I really do applaud them for taking this approach, and we'll see where it goes if John Cena just gets his win back or where they go with this. But AJ Styles came out afterward, took out Cena with a phenomenal forearm, and then he ended up attacking Dean Ambrose with a Pele kick. But Daniel Bryan came out and told AJ Styles that last week Shane McMahon had promised Dean Ambrose a one-on-one title opportunity, and he said that match would take place next week on SmackDown. AJ didn't like this, and then he ended up turning around into dirty deeds from Ambrose. And then we ended up getting some replays, and then Dean Ambrose going to ringside and high-fiving fans. So a couple of things from that. One, I think that there was speculation by fans last week that with the fans booing and with Dean Ambrose hitting dirty deeds on John Cena, that it was intended to be a Dean Ambrose heel turn. And I didn't think it was, and it wasn't. I mean, it doesn't mean they can't turn him somewhere down the road, that what they're doing now isn't leading to that. I don't think it is, though, and I'll go back to the same logic I gave you for that scenario, which is that they're very limited on star power on SmackDown. I don't know that they have anyone they feel confident in making a babyface and replacing Dean Ambrose. Yes, you have John Cena. John Cena's not working all the house shows. Randy Orton is a top babyface. He's just, he's back now. Hopefully he doesn't have any more medical issues, but I just don't know how many guys realistically. I mean, you could make an argument that you could turn Bray Wyatt and maybe make him what Ambrose is. I love the idea of turning Dean Ambrose when the time is right. I just don't see a lot of strong opponents for him if he ends up being a heel. I think they need top baby faces, and so I think they're just trying to give Ambrose a bit more of an edge. They're trying to create some storyline friction between Dean Ambrose and John Cena, and so I think Dean Ambrose is going to stay slotted as he is. The other thing I took from this is, well, congratulations to the SmackDown side. It looks like they are, I don't know if they're booking a week out completely. I'd be surprised if they are, but it's just refreshing that, on Monday night we actually had two matches advertised for this show on Raw. It wasn't the generic, tune into SmackDown because it's SmackDown and you list the stars and that's it. And you can tell, like, oh, they don't even have the show written yet, do they? In this case, again, they advertised two matches and now they actually gave us a big main event a week out. I like that. I don't know why we can't see more of that on Raw. Well, I do. It's Vince McMahon. But if they're able to do it on SmackDown, hopefully this is something they're going to be able to start doing more of on Raw. Now, I know this last week they did advertise Rusev and Kevin Owens and, or I'm sorry, not Rusev, but Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens in the, they didn't, well, did they? I know recently they did. That was the week before for the number one contender. Roman could earn a spot in the title match. That's what it was at Clash of Champions. So I don't think they advertised anything this week, but they've done it before. They need to do more of it, I guess, is my point. But overall, another good episode of SmackDown, another good addition. I think they just continue to make the most of the limited, the smaller talent roster that they have. There's so many people who mean something. You see them every week. They're a part of the show. Yeah, there's disappointments like Apollo Crews, but I think overall, I mean, they've made Heath Slater and Rhino mean something. The Usos are going to click as heels. You can just tell. I mean, I think they're starting to already. I mean, they got John Cena to lose a match, and not that it's his call to not lose or anything like that. I've always heard John Cena's like the guy who's all for it, if it makes sense. But I think they're doing a really good job. I look forward to SmackDown. There's coming out of Raw after the three-hour marathons, and just how eye-rolling that can be, that whole, like, 3 hours of this. I'm sorry, it's too much sometimes. You'd think I'd be dreading SmackDown, and I'm just not. I'm going, well, at least I'll see a good wrestling show on Tuesday that doesn't overstay its welcome and that doesn't have a bunch of filler. And that, I mean, so SmackDown is just a much better view, much better viewing. And then also, hell, I stick around for Talking Smack. I thought it was crazy at first. I'm like, I'm never going to want to watch this. I'll catch it on Wednesday morning or something like that, because especially after a pay-per-view week when, 4 hours with the kickoff show, and then you go into 3 hours of Raw, almost 4 hours if you watch that pre-show as well, and then SmackDown being 2.5 with the pre-show, the last thing I'm going to want to do is watch another half hour of anything pro wrestling related on Tuesday night. But it's a good show. And so I find myself watching it live as it airs on the network. I definitely have been entertained by that. So SmackDown really doing a good job. I don't know if they're getting enough credit from people. If you're not watching the show, if you're just a, I'm a Raw guy, it's just what I do on Monday nights, you're missing out. You really owe it to yourself to check it out. But that's going to do it for today, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. I will not be back tomorrow. I'm not sure who is going to be here, if it's going to be Will and Jake, or if you guys will get the NXT audio review from Zach Zimmerman. We'll sort that out, but I'm sure I will be talking to you again very soon. Until then, take care.